For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But I want to get to this because Brendan Marks is about to head to Washington, D.C. And Brendan Marks from The Athletic at Brendan R. Marks on Twitter. So let's talk real quick about Saturday night. And maybe I'm crazy, but wasn't this really just an extension of the last game?
Yeah, it basically was. You know, I was pretty surprised, actually, at the way that more so Duke came out than North Carolina. You know, obviously North Carolina came in and you expect them to be the aggressor. You expect North Carolina to, they're playing in an opposing gym. They're playing in this hated rivalry. They've got everything to lose. And Duke, on the other hand, you know, it's your senior night and you know, you have all of these stakes. You have a chance for the ACC on the line. So I was really surprised that Duke did not come out with more intensity, more aggression. And, you know, as John Shire said after the game, he was too. That sort of set the tone for everything and definitely was a continuation of the first game.
Brendan Marks from The Athletic covers both Duke and North Carolina here on The Adam Gold Show. I was really surprised, and I want to get to the fact that every single player who wore powder blue last night was, I thought, either exceeded expectations or exactly fulfilled their role. But I want to get to two players for Duke that really surprised me, especially in the first half. I was surprised. It looked like Jeremy Roach kind of was overwhelmed by the moment. And Kyle Filipowski, I don't know if he tried too hard to be too dominant, but he also looked like he was moving faster than he needed to move, like he was rushing. Those two players surprised me a lot, especially in the first half.
Yeah, you know, Jeremy Roach said after the game, I think he started 0 for 7 from 3, obviously was able to eventually get one of them to drop, or 0 for 7 overall. Before he had his first basket with basically a minute left before halftime, he said he was pressing. And, you know, it's one of those things where obviously the senior night ritual at North Carolina and at Duke is very different. Yeah. North Carolina, for one, just happens to have a lot more of those guys than Duke does. But you can understand how a guy who's been through everything Jeremy Roach would, like as Armando Bacot said after, you know, his last game at North Carolina, I didn't feel like I was in the flow of things in the first half because you're thinking, hey, maybe what if this is it? And you could definitely sort of see some of that from Jeremy Roach. You know, there were a couple of wide open looks that he had that, you know, normally those drop, those fall. So, and especially for this Duke team, you know, knowing the matchup they have with North Carolina, knowing how the first game went, you know, going into that game, I really thought Jeremy Roach needed to be one of the most effective players in the court, and he ended up being, you know, not. He was 3-12. So he especially surprised me. And then Filipowski, yeah, you know, he came out early in the second half and showed that aggression and scored, you know, 8 of Duke's first 11 points after the break. But like you were saying, in the first half, you know, it felt like he was back to being in that funk. And we've heard that from his teammates. We've heard that from John Shire at times this season, how he gets in those moods and it takes him a little while to get out of them. And you know, I wonder if North Carolina's early start forced some of that.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was before you realized that your nachos were empty, it was 21-6. So that seemed to happen pretty quickly. Brendan Marks from The Athletic is here on The Adam Gold Show. Cormac Ryan, I know he said after the game how he loves basically those types of environments where he's almost the villain, but he certainly embraced it. And we knew all year long that he was not a sub 40% three-point shooter, that he had these types of games in him and these types of runs in him. But it's when that guy gets going early, I mean, he becomes as lethal as anybody in the league.
Adam Gold here with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Are most of your clients hands-on, or they just give you their money and let it work for them?
About 90% give the money, and then we meet every year and go through status reports, sure. Have a financial pit stop, making sure everything's fine. It is like a puzzle, Adam, but for the next 10 of you, we'll solve your own retirement puzzle at no cost or obligation.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that is sort of the Cormac Ryan, maybe not quite to that extent. You know, Armando Bacon said after the game, you know, I didn't expect he was going to go for 30, but I knew he was locked in. But this is a guy who, you know, obviously we had expected a lot from, and it has taken a while. But now over the last five games, Cormac Ryan has kind of become the player that I think a lot of us expected he would be for North Carolina most of this season. Over the last five games, you know, including Saturday, he's averaging 15 points a game, and he's making 44.4% of his threes on 7.2 attempts per game. So he has become that dead-eye sharpshooter that North Carolina, quite frankly, needs. And, you know, for most of this season, R.J. Davis, Armando Bacot, and Harrison Ingram have been a good enough trio to get it done. And adding another guy of this caliber now, adding someone who can legitimately stretch defenses, who can open things up inside for Bacot, for Ingram, for some of those driving lanes for R.J., I do think it has the potential to change the trajectory of North Carolina's season, even this late. This is the second time in the last five games he's made six threes. And, you know, the crazy stat from last night that, you know, there were a bunch of them that came out after Cormac Ryan's career night. This is the first time that UNC has won a game where neither R.J. Davis nor Armando Bacot hit double figures since Hubert Davis's first game as head coach, which is just kind of unfathomable to me.
Well, they combined for, I believe they combined for 18, right, in the game. They each had nine. It was amazing. Brendan Marks from The Athletic is here. You know, rather than me lead you places, what do you think last night came down to? I should say Saturday night. What do you think Saturday night came down to?
Yeah, you know, I really do think that it was the level of intensity and the level of drive. And Duke, you know, for all of the talent that it has, for all of the awesome pieces that John Shire has assembled, like, you know, Tyrese Proctor was terrific. You know, Kyle Filipowski ended up getting the counting stats. Jared McCain, like, my God, if I was an opposing defender and I saw Jared McCain shooting up for a shot, I would be so afraid because it looks like it's dead on every single time. For all of the talent Duke has, it has been a question all season of being able to get them singularly focused and, you know, focused to the level that it takes to win in games like that. And, you know, there have been times when it has looked like Duke is starting to get on that roll. There have been times when they've won a couple of games in a row, you know, they've had these stretches. And then when somebody else is able to match that, Duke, outside of, I would probably say, the Baylor game, has not really been able to keep pace at that intensity level for a sustained 40 minutes across the entire roster. And, you know, it's for me, that has been my biggest question about Duke all year. It's not about the talent. You know, you can question the roster construction and whether this team needs a legitimate, you know, rim protecting five. And I think having another big man, you know, Sean Stewart and Ryan Young had seven fouls and no points. But I think the biggest thing that has been my question all year, and that I still have the question going into postseason, which is not ideal, is I don't know that all of Duke's players have ever all been on the same page and all been at the same level for one game this season. And no matter how much talent you have, if you don't have that, when you get in, you know, when you get in the muck and you get in the fire in games like Saturday night, you have to have that. And, you know, like I said, outside of the Baylor game, I'm not sure that I can necessarily say that about this Duke team.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I hate to use, well, one team is tougher than the other, but I do think North Carolina is the tougher, mentally tougher team than Duke is. And I also think the league might be in tiers, right? I think North Carolina is in a tier by itself, and I think Duke is below them in a tier by itself. And winning games against the rest of the league doesn't necessarily prove anything, because I don't believe the rest of the league, and there are good teams, and I think there are NCAA tournament teams below Duke, but I think there is a severe drop-off between Duke and the next best team, and I consider Clemson in that group, even if there may be they might be the best of the rest. And it's hard to really, you know, hone yourself when you're beating teams that you probably should beat.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I 100% am on the same page with you in terms of that tier breakdown. Like, I think North Carolina, you know, it's so funny because at the start of the year, I probably would have said the reverse of that. I would have expected Duke to be in the tier by itself atop the ACC, UNC in the next tier, and then sort of everybody else. But, you know, I don't think you can look at Duke's resume and really say that they're in that same class right now. You know, again, that Baylor win, neutral court, I thought that was probably the toughest game, you know, in terms of resilience that Duke has showed all season. But you know, you look at the rest of the resume and like, there really isn't too much to write home about. I mean, you beat Clemson, that's a good win. You beat Wake Forest, that's a good win. But, you know, the rest of it really does not stand out as anything special. And in those games against the marquee opponents, two against North Carolina, against Arizona back earlier in the season, the games haven't been blowouts by any means. Duke has the talent like and the horses to hang with it. But now 0-5. When Duke has allowed 80 or more points this season. And I think that just speaks to the ability to get those late stops, to be tough when you need it the most. And there were a couple of times on Saturday when Duke got it to two possessions, got it to six, got it to five, got it to one, and was never able to fully close the gap. So I agree with you. I think North Carolina is, you know, pretty firmly in a tier by itself, and then Duke is in a tier below them. But, you know, hopefully that lines up so that we get a third meeting between them in D.C. this week.
Yeah, I don't think either. I'm not sure either team. I give Duke a better chance to win the ACC tournament than I do North Carolina, because I think UNC is supremely focused on the tournament after that, and I think they have a chance to win it. I love the way their role players, the Seth Trimbles, Jalen Withers of the world, I love those guys and how they have embraced their roles and attacked their roles. And I'll just let this out of the bag. I don't care about stats. Elliott Cadeau is one of the 15 best players in the ACC, and I voted for him on my third team yesterday. So I think that kid is amazing.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Yeah, I agree with you on the role player thing. I mean, Jalen Withers, I was, you know, somebody was saying to me in the media room after the game on Saturday, you know, wow, Armando Bacot didn't necessarily have as many, you know, rebounds as you would have expected. He only had 8 rebounds. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's because Jalen Withers had 8 rebounds. You know, Jalen, and a couple of them were those offensive rebounds where it's the kind of athletic finish that you don't necessarily expect. And but North Carolina needed it. Same thing with Seth Trimble, like you're talking about. You know, Seth had 2 steals, and both times when Duke was making those runs and like seemed to be on the verge of sort of rallying momentum, it was Seth Trimble who was either driving to the hoop or getting those free throw line jumpers and sort of quelling everything. So, you know, obviously again, and then Cadeau, I don't know that I'd call him a role player. He's been you know, a starter for most of the season, but you know, his ability to take the ball handling load off of RJ Davis and let RJ Davis focus on scoring, which is obviously what he does best. I mean, you just can't say enough about it. And like, I think, you know, Cadeau has gotten better at 4 turnovers on Saturday. I still think there's room for him to improve and grow, but, you know, certainly North Carolina's offense does not operate nearly to the level that it, you know, needs to win the ACC outright without Elliott Cadeau.
All right. Final thing for Brennan Marks. We waited all the way to here to get to it. Looked to me like it was a trip, unless Kyle Filipowski was trying to impersonate a dog going to the bathroom on the floor at Cameron Indoor Stadium. I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of the whole thing is silly, but I mean, we can't live in denial.
Yeah, I you know, I hate that we have to keep sort of getting dragged into the muck with these sorts of things. Yeah. You know, all like the distractions and whatever. So I'll tell you, sitting courtside at first, especially while play is sort of continuing down the court, you sort of see it out of your periphery. And what I saw was I saw Harrison Ingram going down the second time. I saw Filipowski getting up thereafter, sort of, you know, stomping his foot or, you know, limping a little bit, looking like he might have. And so it looked like they get tangled up. And then you see the review, and both from the end zone view and then, you know, just the regular broadcast review. And to me, I agree with you. I think it's pretty clear. You know, Kyle Filipowski said after the game that he wasn't sure that Harrison Ingram was back there, he thought he was the only one. But if you watch the replay, you know, Harrison Ingram's got his hands all over Filipowski's back before Filipowski, you know, moves his leg. So, you know, I thought upon review, it was pretty clearly a trip. I don't know that there's going to be any sort of disciplinary action or whatever. I don't think that there necessarily even needs to be any disciplinary action. But I do think that, you know, it, you know, Filipowski, for only having been at Duke 2 years, has sure crammed a lot of these incidents in. And he's been on the wrong end of most of them. You know, getting hit in the throat at Virginia, getting hit in the head, obviously the incident at Wake Forest. This is the one where he's been on the other side of it, in my opinion. And again, I don't think we need to make this a bigger deal than it is. Of course, people will. But to me, I think when you watch the replay, it's hard to say. Even the Cameron Crazies, I was, you know, watching it live, watching the replay back with some of the other reporters, the Cameron Crazies behind me were like, can we see it? And I showed it to them, and they're like, ooh, that's a bad look for us. So, you know, when the Crazies aren't on your side, that's a tough one.
Yeah, look, again, not a big deal, a small deal, but we all saw it. And, yeah, it would be I think the best way to get through this would be for Kyle to maybe send Harrison Ingram a message. Yo, man, sorry about that. Lost my head. And we'd be done with it, right?
Yep. Yep. 100% agree. And I'm sure something like that will happen. And like, you know, we should not, you know, I've heard some people say, you know, obviously Filipowski is, you know, getting roasted today, you know, has been really since the game ended for it. And I just feel like that's a little overdramatic. Like it's too much. Like, you know, it's the heat of a moment. Do I think that he was like trying to hurt Harrison Ingram? No, absolutely not. I think, yeah, you send a message, you apologize. I think Harrison Ingram's a pretty logical guy. I mean, in the moment, Harrison Ingram was over talking to Ted Valentine. Like, he tripped me. He tripped me. So, you know, I think you send a message, move past it. Both of these teams hopefully have much bigger things to worry about.
Brendan Marks from The Athletic, at Brendan R. Marks on Twitter. Thank you very much, my man. Enjoy D.C. I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. I'll talk to you soon.